there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Let's go! This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard, live from Phoenix, the site of Super Bowl 57 on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is another hour of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, and we are live from the site of Super Bowl 57, just like Brent Musburger said. From Radio Row, Mike Pritchard, our representative, kicking off the week of VSiN coverage live in Phoenix. Great to have Mike Pritchard out there. First of many shows that we'll be sending live from the Super Bowl site. I'm Ben Wilson. In the meantime, back in Las Vegas at our Circus Sportsbook Studios. Big thanks to Elliot Bauman, our producer, everybody else helping out behind the scenes here at Circa. Pritch, you know you and I, we love a deep, deep dive, and that's what we're here to do in the build-up to the Super Bowl. So we just talked about Super Bowl MVP potential in the last segment, how Patrick Mahomes is, it feels like that is the guy if Kansas City is to win. Meanwhile, for Philadelphia, there's a bunch of different options. You have to look, though, at the secondaries and how the matchups will work, especially if we start with the Philadelphia secondary matching up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense. Number one pass defense team on an EPA per play basis all season. With how limited, though, of elite quarterbacks they faced, only two in the top 10, how do you see from the X's and O's standpoint that defense ends up looking against such an elite offense in Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Well, here's where the narrative about Patrick Mahomes winning MVP really comes through. I mean, outside of him, maybe Travis Kelce, right? But Kansas City relies so heavily on their scheme. They can't get to featured matchups outside of Travis Kelce. They'll move him around to kind of do that by design, but it's still within a scheme. It's all about the trigger guy. It's all about Patrick Mahomes and finding the correct receivers, right? So if you're the Eagles, you know, do you sit back in zone? And do you kind of play it conservatively that way so that, okay, we're in right position. We're not going to avoid an area. We're going to be okay. We're not going to give up a big play because I think a lot of times if you're playing zone, if you give up a big play, that is really what breaks you down. So I expect that to happen. I don't see them matching up one-on-one. They don't have to. You know, Bradberry and Slay, they're on the outside. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not, you know, that dynamic on the outside. I mean, everything's in the middle of the field really with this offense and the scheme. So what are the Eagles going to do to kind of slow down the middle of the field for Kansas City? That's the question that I want to answer to, certainly as we move closer and closer to kickoff. But you can't bracket Kelce. I think that'll break you down, too, defensively. You can't move one of those outside guys in on the inside to kind of man up Kelce. That kind of breaks you down defensively of what you want to do, too. So, that's the matchup to watch. That is another one to watch. But, you know, the Eagles, I think they're going to be predominantly in a zone situation and try to get after the passer with their front.
You'd think, too, if you're Philadelphia, you're looking at tape of San Francisco versus Kansas City, of the Denver games versus Kansas City, because those were three of the seven games. Patrick Mahomes played seven games this season against top 10 pass defenses in the league. The Chiefs went 6-1 in those games, and the numbers Mahomes put up in those seven contests would have graded out second on the entire season as far as EPA per attempt on dropbacks for all quarterbacks. So it's a guy who's put up big numbers, even Pritch, when he's had to face these elite defenses. And I'd have to think, if you're Philadelphia, you're looking at those specific games, trying to figure out some edges from the X's and O's.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think if you're the Eagles, where can we win the game? Where do we have a chance as a defense against Patrick Mahomes and the efficient offense that he has? And that's in the red zone. You know, that's in a condensed area of the football field where you can use zone to your advantage, right? You can use some bracket concepts to kind of neutralize Travis Kelce if you have to. You could rob the middle of the field on some crossing routes. You don't necessarily have to play man. In fact, you probably want to invite Kansas City to run the football in the red zone, which that's something that I think Kansas City is going to have to do. But can the Eagles rally up and make a tackle short of the end zone? You know, that's a big question mark too, though. But no, I think out in the field, as efficient as Kansas City is, as great of a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes is right now, seeing the field, even with the ankle situation, that's going to be hard to shut down.
Oh, no question. I mean, it's why it's the matchup we need to do the deep dive on.
Right.
Number one versus number one. Best pass defense versus best pass offense. You know, at the same token, though, look, this Kansas City pass defense is one that has relied heavily on youth. Bring in four rookie defensive backs in who are starters. And you think about history, Pritch. I mean, you have to go back to 1981 when Ronnie Lott was a rookie, the last time a Super Bowl team had at least three rookie defensive starters in their secondary. Think about that. We're talking, you weren't even in high school yet, Pritch. Your football career hadn't even started back then, the last time a team trotted out at least three rookie DBs.
Yeah, I was running up and down some football field somewhere in Las Vegas, though. In 1981, bumping my head against the goalpost somewhere. But no, you're right. You're right. I mean, that 81 49ers team, too, I mean, led by Ronnie Lott, the great Hall of Famer. But yeah, I mean, that defense, too, if you remember football, well, you weren't born yet, Ben.
No, not quite.
If you've seen the highlights and if you understood football, I mean, that they were so innovative, like, you know, for what they wanted to do and how they wanted to evolve offensively, but then defensively, just defensively sound with those rookie secondary players there. But, you know, there's a saying in the league, though, certainly I experienced it my rookie year, after you get so far through a season as a starter or somebody who's made an impact or somebody who's played a lot of ball, you're no longer a rookie. The coaches aren't looking at you as a rookie. In fact, both of these coaches are fantastic in their coaching staffs with developing players. I mean, there's a lot of young players for Kansas City contributing in key roles right now, in particular with the secondary. But same thing on the other side, too, when you look at all the draft choices starting offensively for the Eagles. But then some of the younger players, too. But then, you know, if you're built to go to a Super Bowl, Howie Roseman wanted to accelerate that and get it there quickly, and he did that with some of the acquisitions and some of the key players through trades and free agency that way. But, no, it's remarkable. But a lot of these young players, you have to grow up. It's a get better league. I say that all the time. And for the contribution from these younger players to get their team to a Super Bowl, I think their confidence will be there as well come Sunday.
Yeah, the Chief rookies in that secondary who've played big roles, maybe they haven't started every game, but they've been big rotational pieces. You have Trent McDuffie, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, and Brian Cook as well, who've taken significant snaps. Yet, at the same time, there have been growing pains for the Chief secondary. Second worst in red zone touchdown percentage allowed to opposing defenses, and they've allowed the most pass touchdowns to opposing offenses all season. You think about how that will match up against this sort of hybrid six-back run-first offense in Philadelphia. How much help do you believe Steve Spagnuolo will give his secondary when there could be the case to be made that there's a more important task at hand right on the line of scrimmage there on defense?
Right. You know, it's interesting because I knew you were going to bring some stats today. And I got to put it in a context a little bit because, like, you know, Kansas City, they don't cover games. They don't. We know that. But they lean on their offense, too, right? Patrick Mahomes, whether he's going to bail them out or not. But, you know, when some of those things were happening to the defense, I wonder, was it garbage time or was it, you know, non-competitive situations? Or was that the trademark of the defense, in your opinion?
No, look, the game flow matters a lot. And when you're when you have a Kansas City offense that led the league in yards per play and yards per drive and the team that went over a number, you know, a majority of games, yeah, the defensive numbers aren't going to be, you know, necessarily as spotless, so to speak. Yet at the same time, look, are those numbers maybe a little bit exaggerated based on what the true nature of Kansas City's defense is? Probably. Yet it seems on the surface, Mike, like a pretty big step back and step down in class if you're comparing them to what's on the other side of the ball in Philadelphia from how elite they've been in all those regards.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I go back to last year with the Chiefs defense, and they came up short, didn't get to the Super Bowl. Remember Sorensen and how bad that defense was, man? I wanted to go back out there and play against them. But last year they allowed 22 points per game, which was 10th in the National Football League. They gave up 15 rushing touchdowns to 27 passing touchdowns last year. And so that was a concern. So I guess my whole point is I think it's within Kansas City's nature to not be stout defensively. You know, they haven't really built their team to be like that on that side of the ball. It's more predominantly on the offensive side of the ball with that quarterback, right? And it's worked. So to your point, I get it. But I think it's part of the nature of Kansas City. I think they know how to play with a defense that's less than desirable at this point.
It's a totally fair point. I mean, you go back to the Super Bowl season Kansas City had when they won that 2019 season beating San Francisco. And I remember the big talking point was, all right, can Kansas City at least get their defense from horrible to like respectable? that would be enough. It doesn't have to be an elite unit. If I just pulled up to the numbers, if you go all the way back, so from the start of the 2019 season, and keep in mind, since the start of 2019, I mean, Kansas City has been in the AFC Championship game now every single season.
Right.
Over those four seasons combined, they're only 15th in the league on an EPA per play basis defending the pass. Mm-hmm. So again, it's been pretty much mediocre. And this season, they were dipping down a little bit more than that. But again, now when you have a guy as elite as Patrick Mahomes, it can make up for some of those deficiencies. The question it just becomes is, in a matchup against a team like Philadelphia that's so elite running the football, but also has the ability to burn you deep with weapons like Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Is this the sort of matchup where those deficiencies do get exposed? And that's what we're trying to figure out heading into the game.
Well, and that's what I want to build on, Ben, because like, if it's within your nature to play like this with a less than desirable defense, you know, rookie players or you might not be as talented as you want to be. But think about it from the fact that you're not going to let yourself be exposed that way. Like the Eagles, are you really going to cover A.J. Brown one-on-one? You're probably not going to do that, right? Maybe you take a chance with one-on-one coverage with Smith on the other side, if you can get Snead back, you know. But I think the Eagles or the Kansas City Chiefs from a defense standpoint can adapt to within their nature right now.
You have to think there will be some different looks thrown out by Steve Spagnuolo, the DC, heading into the big game on Sunday. That is for sure. When we come back, some more news and notes from around the NFL. There's some news coming out of Las Vegas from Devontae Adams after the Pro Bowl. Could Aaron Rodgers be a target? We'll talk about that when we return to the Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard, live from Phoenix, the site of Super Bowl 57 on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The big game means big plans for VSiN. VSiN is in the middle of all the action and broadcasting live from Radio Row in Phoenix with athlete and celebrity interviews and our experts breaking down the game. You won't want to miss any of VSiN's coverage. Huddle up and watch Follow the Money, the Lombardi Line. Hey, that's us. VSiN Final Countdown and VSiN Primetime live all week from Radio Row in Phoenix. For betting splits, expert picks, and big game props, head to VSiN.com. That is VSIN.com. Mike Pritchard standing by right now at Radio Row in Phoenix. Pritchard there today and tomorrow. It's going to be a blast, too. We have more guests coming up tomorrow as well. Solomon Wilcots will join us in about 15 minutes. The fellow Colorado Buffalo alum of you, Mike. So I'm sure you guys have just a thing or two you can talk about on the air when Solomon joins the show. And it's also, you know, in addition to having, you know, the celebs and the guests in this week, you talked about the fact it's kind of the NFL convention this every time this year leading up to the Super Bowl, Mike. It's also that scuttlebutt season, right, where we're hearing the rumors and you're very tied in, so I want to get your take on this. Davante Adams coming out of the Pro Bowl yesterday was basically asked if he was if he's on the active pitch route trying to get Aaron Rodgers to come to Vegas play for the Raiders, and he basically said, duh, like, why wouldn't I be? Right. You have a chance to bring Aaron Rodgers to your team. What have you heard out here in Vegas as to what is going on behind the scenes there with Adams and Rodgers and a potential reuniting there?
Yeah, what you hear is all about timing, right? And so when do you want to talk about it, or certainly do you want to keep holding it? And it's been a few weeks, you know, in terms of what the Raiders are going to do as they're parting ways with Derek Carr, and was it going to be Tom Brady and all this stuff? And I guess the notion that Mark Davis, the owner, and the Raiders, they need to go after a headliner. Now, Davante Adams is here for a reason. A lot of people thought it was solely because of Derek Carr. I don't think so. So weeks ago, Ben, I was having a conversation with some folks, and I brought up Tom Brady and how great that would be if the Raiders could land him in Las Vegas, take a run, chips to the middle of the table, make a run at the Super Bowl, all that kind of thing. Well, he retired, obviously, but before the retirement, in that same conversation, a gentleman said, no, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, what? It's like, yeah, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, no, it's not. That's incredible. How can that even happen? I mean, the offense is nothing that Aaron's familiar with, right? But it kind of makes sense now, since Tom Brady has retired, that the Raiders, by parting ways with somebody like Derek Carr, who is steady, you know, can he get you over the hump? Can he get you to a Super Bowl? Obviously, the Raiders, they took a lot of time deciding that, no, that's not the case. So you're going to upgrade that position. You know, are you going to rebuild it and start all over? You could do that through the draft. But I think you can still draft a quarterback and still go after a player like an Aaron Rodgers when you have a Davante Adams. So I don't know what's going to happen, if that can come to any type of conclusion in which we see Aaron Rodgers out there in Vegas. But I believe the thought is out there. The discussions are taking place. You know, we joke about the tampering period, at least as players, and this is really the tampering period. All right, now at the Super Bowl, with agents walking around, with GMs all around, and conversations at a certain restaurant or a certain lobby bar. I mean, that's really when the tampering all begins. And the fact that this is coming to light with Aaron Rodgers a little bit along with Davante Adams, we'll see what happens.
Well, look, Davante Adams has certainly helped stoke the rumors on his own, trying to make it seem like this thing does have some legs. Adams, I know, was asked by one of the popular Twitter accounts here in Vegas, what neighborhood are we going to get A-Rod in? And Devontae's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be mine. So I know you don't live too far away from Davante either, Pritch, so I don't know
if anybody is. No, not at all. I mean, Davante was looking for a house, you know, before that trade happened. And I think the same Twitter account might have had the news about Davante landing in Las Vegas before he actually signed the deal. But They can't sign a deal till March, the new league year, right? And but the tampering period, and as players, we can't get fined for tampering. Like, I can lobby every day if I wanted to, if I'm Devontae Adams, to get Aaron Rodgers here, right? I could do that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense if you're in the player's position. The thing you just have to keep remembering, at least on the Rodgers front, is that he's got this large, like a 3-year contract. He has admitted he is open to restructuring a deal, whether he comes back to Green Bay, whether he ends up playing for another team in 2023. But it's a guy under contract. There's going to have to be some sort of trade that happens. And so that's sometimes where we get ahead of our skates a little bit, thinking, oh, well, yeah, sure. You've got a former teammate who is one of the top wide receivers in the game who wants to play with him, but it's not as easy as the Packers just saying, all right, yeah, sure, do whatever you want. Like, they are going to make sure they get top dollar if a team wants to get the services of Rodgers, who is toward the, you know, on the back nine of his career. And that's the reality, Pritch.
So your experience, what did the Jets, did they give up anything for Brett? Or because Brett quit, then he didn't, he came back from retirement because he wanted to stick it to the Packers and make them trade him or whatever. Do you remember what the compensation was, for that one?
It was conditional draft picks essentially at the time. And the Packers, you know, they were not going to trade. If you go back to that saga, which Aaron Rodgers, it seems like, is kind of trying to mirror his former teammate Brett Favre right now with some of his antics. But no, back then, you know, Favre wanted to be traded. He was still under contract. Packers said, all right, we're not obviously going to trade you within the division or the conference. So they were able to mutually agree on the Jets. It ended up being a conditional fourth round pick that then turned into a third round pick because of certain playing time things for Favre. Now, I would say that's a much different scenario. Favre was, you know, you looked at where he was at in his career, even though the Packers at the time were coming off an NFC championship game.
Exactly.
Favre was much more diminished in his skills than Rodgers is right now. And Rodgers still has 3 years left on the contract. So I would have to think it's much more. You've seen rumors around about, you know, how, like, a first round draft pick and a quarterback, something like that, if that's reality here. But it's going to cost a pretty penny. It's not like the Packers are just going to be willing to part with their franchise guy now for a decade and a half.
I know, but, okay, if he's starting to mimic what Brett did, remember Brett retired, and the Packers moved on, and then Brett came back out of retirement right during training camp and kind of forced their hand, right?
Yes.
So I don't know if Aaron will do something like that, but he kind of entertained that. He stayed away from offseason before. He hasn't indicated that he wanted to retire, but if you're the player, if you're Aaron Rodgers, and you're like, you know what, I want to be back with Tay. I miss my guy, Tay, Devontae. I want to play golf out there in Las Vegas at a certain country club. We won't name names. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, now, can they make it happen, though? Like, the Raiders, they don't throw money at players in terms of signing bonuses, too, so they wouldn't have to worry about that. With Aaron, all they would probably have to do is restructure. But then the return compensation, though, what would the Raiders be willing to give up for a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, be interesting to see how it all unfolds. At least Rodgers has come out and said he's going to make a decision soon. But I can't help but sit here and think that the whole diva, whatever part of that is in your DNA as a franchise quarterback,
right,
that seems like it has infiltrated Rodgers more and more this offseason. From the second they lost to the Lions in Week 18, he has flipped on that switch and made it all about him. It's why we're talking about him on a show on February 6th. That's just the reality. The other news, Pritch, from a player perspective that did come out of the Pro Bowl, aside from, and like, what are we still doing with the Pro Bowl, where you have guys, you know, getting a guy, you know, Myles Garrett with a dislocated toe in the Pro Bowl game, but Geno Smith says that he's really confident he'll be back in Seattle next year working on a new deal. How much stock do you put in the possibility of Smith coming back to Seattle and banking on himself there for another season?
Well, he did bank on himself, and he did a great job. I'll commend him for that. But, I mean, if you're Seattle and you're doing business the right way, I mean, you got a draft pick from the Denver Broncos that puts you in the top five of the draft. I think you got to build for your future too, right? And you can go offensive line, you can go defensive player. I think Seattle has drafted very, very well. Their rookie class last year helped them out. If they pass up a quarterback this year, that would be shocking to me. Anything and everything can happen. You know, can you still win games and get back to the playoffs with Geno? We'll find out in a matter of weeks because of a contract, right? And are they going to pay him that way, or are they going to pay him differently? Like, if they pay him differently, suggesting that he's a holdover until we can kind of mature a draft pick, or be interested in a draft pick. I mean, that remains to be seen. I think Geno is optimistic. He should be, even as a free agent. I mean, I think he would be a little bit of a sought-after player for certain situations out there across the league.
Right, and it's the quintessential question, though. If you're a team like Seattle, you get Smith, who has a career season, finished top seventh in advanced stats among all quarterbacks this year, was one of the elite guys by the numbers, hasn't really shown that, though, in the past. And do you sit here and say, well, maybe that was scheme and system in the past, and now we're unlocking his potential? Or do we say, all right, time to maybe sell high and look towards the future in a QB? That's a tough question to answer.
Yeah, I mean, Geno benefited for the fact that Kenneth Walker III came on strong. I mean, like I said, the offensive line gelled together, the younger players. And then he's got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Disley. I mean, when he was out there with the backups during the quarterback competition with Drew Lock, he didn't look good at all, right? But with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, he started looking great. I think you got to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, big couple months coming up for Geno Smith as his contract talks continue with the Seattle Seahawks. When we return, time to welcome in our first guest of the show. It is Solomon Wilcott's longtime NFL vet and former NFL and CBS analyst. Solomon joins us from Radio Row right after this.
This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard, live from Phoenix, the site of Super Bowl 57 on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm Ben Wilson, back in Las Vegas at our Circus Sportsbook Studios. We are so pleased to welcome in our first guest of the show today. Solomon Wilcott joins our Mike Pritchard down at Radio Row in Glendale. Solomon, longtime NFL vet. He played at Colorado right before Pritch came along and was a member of the Buffs. Solomon as well, longtime NFL on CBS analyst. You can now see him on SiriusXM Radio, the Believe in Bengals podcast. And I understand you're doing some work with Vericel now, Solomon. So thanks so much for joining us. I know you and Pritch go way, way back. But first off, tell us what's the latest with you and what you're doing there with Vericel.
Yeah, I'm here on behalf of Vericel. And listen, it's really about helping athletes get back on the field and people in everyday life, right? Weekend warriors to get back to their active lifestyle. We know that there's about 12 million people each year go into the doctor office with some kind of knee pain. Well, about half of those, 6 million people go in with cartilage damage to the knee. What if we told you that we can take the healthy tissue in your cartilage, remove it, grow it on a collagen membrane, and then reinsert it to help you regrow your healthy tissue and keep you from this slide to where you're bone on bone. I think it's a phenomenal, innovative way of treating cartilage damage. All you have to do is go to the website at www.maci.com, M-A-C-I.com.
Yeah, you know, Solly, I'm so interested in Macy because I am bone on bone. And
yeah,
I was curious about that happened from playing in the league, obviously.
Yep.
But there's a lot of athletes or weekend warriors, if you will, too, that might be bone-on-bone conditions or situations.
Yeah.
Can Macy help that out as well?
Well, once you can go to a point to where this maybe wouldn't be the best product for you if you've already bone-on-bone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have mild degenerative knee pain, then you're right in that window where you can take advantage of this innovative treatment. So they want to get you before you get to that point.
Okay. We're here at the Super Bowl with Solomon Wilcott, Emmy award-winning broadcaster, host of the opening drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio, also Believe in Bengals podcast. So let's get to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Because our audience is going to look forward to your perspective. You played in Super Bowl 23 with the Bengals against Joe Montana. And when you think about Joe Montana, that offense and the weapons that he had, and now you look at the Chiefs, and I think it's similar. But then on top of that, the Eagles and the offense and how dynamic they are with 6 eligibles. From a defensive player's perspective, which quarterback/offense would be the most difficult for you to prepare for?
Look, as always, Patrick Mahomes. There's no doubt about that. And you talk about those similarities, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes, the ability to extend the play, the ability to work outside the pocket and still be creative, to keep the play alive. Those of us who play defense on the defensive side, we can't cover all day, Mike.
All right.
You know,
right.
Like, man, sooner or later, the coverage, the integrity of the defense is going to break down. And that's where Patrick Mahomes has been very good, whether he's throwing it in the early phase of the pass play or in the later phase, as you see him getting out of the play, out of the pocket, moving around and being able to make plays with his legs. This guy has the arm talent to drive the ball down the field, the intermediate portion of the field, and that's why he and Travis Kelce have made up this phenomenal team, one of the best quarterback receiver combinations, even though he's a tight end, but it's one of the best combinations that we've ever seen. I think it's the more difficult element to stop.
Okay, because the Eagles, with their six eligibles and you know, Jalen Hurts running the football, it's so much like a college offense, and I think it's unfamiliar to a lot of teams in the National
Football League. That's
but
true.
From your perspective again, because we have people looking to back the Eagles in this game, offensively, what problems could they pose to the Chiefs defense?
Their ability to run the football. They come in averaging roughly 159 rush yards per game, the third highest per game rush average of any team entering a Super Bowl over the course of the history of this big game. And so that's the real challenge. And more importantly, the quarterback designed runs, the RPO system. Jalen Hurts is formidable when it comes to running the ball, whether he's giving it to Kenneth Gainwell, whether it's Boston Scott or Miles Sanders. You got four guys who can crease you in the run game and contribute to that portion. But I think it all starts with the RPO system, which you and I both know it's designed to put the defense in a state of flux. I always tell people defenses, before they can make a play, any player, they've got to first diagnose, is it a run play or is it a pass play?
Right.
And the RPO system, that's what it's designed to do, to keep you guessing, to keep you kind of waiting, playing on the back of your heels while they're attacking you. And while you're waiting to design to see if it's a run or a pass, a wide receiver's getting open down the field. An offensive lineman's climbing to the second level and getting on your linebackers. So defensively, what I want to do is I want to be on the attack. I want to blow up that mesh point where the quarterback stick the ball in the belly of the back. While he's trying to read it, we're blowing that up. That's how, I think that's how you have to play against this Eagles offense if you have any chance of derailing their run
game. It seems like the Chiefs might have the players defensively to kind of do something like that.
They have the players to do it. I think by design, you've got to be committed to it, right?
Right.
Because what's the one thing you don't want Jalen Hurts to do? As much as he has improved in terms of his ability to throw the ball, you don't want him running the ball on you. You don't want him ripping right up through your defense and allowing these rushing numbers, 34 rushing touchdowns throughout the regular season and postseason. They average 44 rushing attempts per game. I mean, they can dominate, steal possessions from Patrick Mahomes if you allow them to hold the ball away from you using their run game.
Yeah, recently on your Believe in Bengals podcast, you did have Eric Bieniemy, current offense coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, on that podcast. I invite everybody to go out and check that out. It's outstanding.
Thank you.
But one of the things Eric talked about was the rise of the younger players and the commitment that those younger players for the Chiefs have right now, and certainly the confidence level. Ben Wilson and I, we were talking about that in terms of how many young players the Chiefs are going to have to rely on. But the confidence right now, it seems like it's through the roof with those young players. So
seven draft picks, rookies, contributed to where this team finds themselves now, playing in their third Super Bowl in the last 4 years. And all of them, I think, contributed heavily in winning in the AFC Championship game. You got two seventh-round picks in Jalen Watson at the quarterback position, who had an interception in that game against Joe Burrow. And then you have Isaiah Pacheco, another seventh-round pick. What draft class has two seventh-round picks that are factoring in and playing significant minutes, and then two first-round picks in George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie at the cornerback position? So they have three defensive backs in their secondary who are rookies. But be careful if you're going to test them, because they can make big plays.
Yeah, I believe you're right on that one. Okay, we got to get a pick from you, Solid. I mean,
you'll put me on
the spot. I'll put you on the spot, absolutely.
Okay.
There's a lot of people, because your wisdom, Solid's wisdom, is something that I've understood for a lot of years. Again, Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, played in Super Bowl 23, host of Opening Drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Okay, who you got to lean, or do you actually have a pick for the Super Bowl?
No, I got a pick. Okay. I'm not afraid to say, look, the Philadelphia Eagles, if you go across every single metric, I think you got to check the box, except the quarterback position. Like, no one's going to say, as much as we love Jalen Hurts and he was a finalist for MVP, I think you're going to check the box on Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But if you go down position by position, right, the wide receivers, I love Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. If I'm looking at the offensive line, if I'm looking every the running game, the defense, the ability to pressure the opposing quarterback, the Eagles check all the boxes. Yeah. However, at the end of the day, man, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, you give him 2 weeks to prepare, he's going to give this Eagles defense something they have not seen before. He's going to give them different looks. The fulcrum, the tipping point for everything that the Chiefs do starts and ends with Patrick Mahomes. You give him the ball on the final possession of the game, he's going to find a way to get the ball into the end zone or set up Harrison Buckner for the game-winning field goal. Right. So at the end of the day, as closely as these teams, two teams are linked, right, Andy Reid, coach both teams, kind of built them from the ground up. I got a side with the Kansas City Chiefs.
There it is, Finn.
Wow, there, Wilson. There you hear it. Solid Wildcats. Going Chiefs, short underdog, and a lot of people are going to be back in the Chiefs, getting points this week, catching 1.5. And you can follow Solomon on Twitter at Solomon's Wisdom. Solomon, thank you so much for doing this. As we let you go, first memory of when you crossed paths with Mike Pritchard, what was it?
Oh, great story. I can tell you right now.
We got like 40 seconds, so we got to be quick.
Yeah, freshman year in the library. I had already played my rookie season. He came up to me. He's ready to leave Boulder. I wouldn't let him leave. And then he ends up becoming the first player drafted from that national championship team. Great guy, great competitor.
Solomon, thank you so much. It's good that you crossed paths with Pritch in the library of all places. Who would have thought that, right? Mike Pritchard in the Colorado.
I'm following the best, man.
How about that? All right, Solomon Wilcox, thanks so much for joining the show. Yeah, check him out at Solomon's Wisdom, all of his great work still within NFL Media and SiriusXM NFL Radio. So thanks to Solomon. When we come back, it's our final segment on the Lombardi Line, live from the big game on Radio Row in Phoenix.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard, live from Phoenix, the site of Super Bowl 57 on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As we're back for the final time on the Lombardi Line, Mike Pritchard with us from Radio Row, side of Super Bowl 57 in Phoenix. I'm Ben Wilson back in Las Vegas at our Circa Sportsbook Studios. Big thanks to Solomon Wilcots for joining the show. Mike, you know I had to ask him about when you guys first met. I want to hear your side of the story, too, from back in the day in Boulder.
Well, no, it was accurate. I mean, I did, you know, Solly was such a mentor. And, you know, the older players for CU, I mean, we looked up to him big time as incoming freshmen. And, you know, it was competitive, Ben. I mean, I had J.J. Flanagan, Eric Bieniemy, George Hemingway, O.C. Oliver. I had all of these high school All-Americans I was competing with for playing time. And so my freshman year, I got a little bit of playing time, not as much as Eric did. And so I was getting jealous of that. And I was like, man, I want to get out of here because I want to go to a place and where I can play. And no, I got wisdom from Solly, who, oh, by the way, was going on to the NFL. And then certainly, like I mentioned, played in Super Bowl 23 with the Bengals as a safety. But it was just great, great advice. Him and Mickey Pruitt and some other older players at the time was instrumental for me hanging in there. Ben, you can't run away from your problems, man. You got to face them head on. And so that wasn't a problem. I just needed to be more competitive. I just needed to get better, right? So I got some wisdom from Solomon Wilcots, and that certainly helped me out.
That's great. No transfer portal back in the day, Pritch. Nowhere.
No transfer portal. I would have had to sit out a year.
That was not in the cards, and it all worked out. It ended up being a first-round draft pick.
It did.
So I think it was a smart decision that the Solomon Wilcots helped.
See, being in the library. Yes, see, go to the library. You never know what kind of information you can find.
Go to the library. Yeah, not all players are like that today. But you know what? You were back in the day, Pritch. So as we wrap up the show, want to get into some of the prop options that we're looking at early here in the build-up to Super Bowl 57. A lot of numbers have started to move, especially mm-hmm. towards the overs for the popular players. But you mentioned earlier, Pritch, you like Miles Sanders as a long shot option to win Super Bowl MVP. You bet him at 30-1. You think about the matchup we've been talking about. How can Kansas City's defensive line match up against the best O-line in the game with Philadelphia? Not only could Sanders have a good game and lead to a potential long shot for MVP, but if we're looking, you know, of the more realistic props that are, you know, more evenly juiced, you've got him now at 60.5 on the rushing yards prop. That's been bet up over the past few days from 57.5. How much success are you imagining Sanders gets? Is it just on the ground, or are you seeing him as more of a run and pass catcher kind of dual threat in this game?
Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to be a focal point. I mean, Gainwell is a change of pace type of back. And then I think that can play in the hands of the Kansas City. You know, I like Miles Sanders. We talked about this too, Ben, in terms of anytime touchdown score. It was plus money at one book, which I was able to jump on over the weekend. So that's attractive. That correlates too from a MVP standpoint. You know, A.J. Brown, Solly talked about this too. He's a matchup nightmare. We all know that. But no, Sanders to me is the focal point of the rushing attack for the Eagles, more so than Jalen. Jalen Hurts is still dealing with that injury, the pain. But if Miles Sanders can have a big day, then obviously I believe the Eagles will have a big day as well.
When you think about what the Eagles have done this season on the ground, not only is it, you know, the number one team in EPA per play rushing, number one in success rate, but as much as the general narrative has been, well, the Eagles haven't played anybody. If you look at what Kansas City has played by the overall, you know, the DVOA metrics, Kansas City's faced the easiest slate of opposing run offenses in the league. They haven't really faced anybody who can punch you in the mouth the way Philadelphia can with their own offensive line. And even with that, Kansas City is 22nd in defensive rush EPA, if you look at a per-play basis, and have not faced a single top 13 offense all season. So could it be more than Sanders, who also finds success in their prop options? Mike, it's a logical thought to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we have this graphic in terms of just a comparison of the two teams. Field Yates put it out, a tweet. Yeah. Ben, you know, a lot of the competition or the regular season, who do they play against, strength of schedule, all that. That's why I don't power rank, because I think it gets convoluted, right? But at the end of the day, they are the number one seeds, and they produce six all-pro players each. on that side of the ball, or both sides of the ball for both teams. So one has an all-world quarterback. One has a quarterback that a lot of people are respecting each and every day more and more. I think the leadership is there. I think they're both well coached. They're going to be both well prepared too. So that's why I kind of throw out the strength of schedule and comparison, things like that, out the window. Like, who's going to present problems for the opponent? I think, you know, I've started there. I believe in my lean right now towards the Eagles, they have more solutions than what the Kansas City Chiefs have, right? Kansas City Chiefs, they had this all-world player, though. And I don't know if you even put a stat or a number on what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table.
Yeah, totally fair. And that's how the breakdown will really come. It's, do you believe in the depth of the team in Philadelphia, or are you a believer in what Patrick Mahomes can do specifically? When I look at how the rush props, though, pan out, a Philadelphia offense this season has faced seven different defenses that are bottom 11 defending the run. Eagles are 7-0 in those games, have averaged 213 rush yards per game in those games on nearly 6 yards a carry. It's why you're seeing the market go to the over on Miles Sanders. The question is, would you still bet him now at 60.5 as that's continued to move up? My answer would still be yes, even though you've missed the best of the number by 3 yards. And I'd also say the same thing for Jalen Hurts, who's at 49.5 on the rush yards. Those would be two targets I'd look at to go over, even with relatively high numbers.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. And here's a tweet. I mean, our shout out to our production staff here, because this is incredible. I mean, think about this, Ben, when you're looking at the comparison of these two teams, and doesn't this tell you to kind of throw out the stats, throw the stats out the window? I believe, and it's day one, I get it, but I believe that both offensive-minded head coaches are going to have to be aggressive. We know the Chiefs will be. And from a prop standpoint, that kind of just lights up the screen. Now, the Eagles, to match scores or to produce a lead, which I think they're familiar with having, and the comfort of having that type of lead, the last two playoff games have been very comfortable for the Eagles. So I think they have to be aggressive too, which brings in all kinds of props. And I don't know how this becomes a defensive slugfest. I mean, it's possible. It is possible. Everything's possible, right? But I'm leaning towards the other variety, and that's a lot of offense in this one.
The for our radio audience who couldn't see this, the tweet from Field Yates, each team 16-3, each team Chiefs and Eagles 546 points scored, each team 6 All Pros, including a Kelce brother and the quarterback, and then each were the number one seed in the respective league. So it's why there's not much to parse between the two teams. It's why the line has been very tight throughout. Eagles right now a consensus 1.5-point favorite. I would be looking to target, though, Hurts and Sanders rushing props to the over. The tertiary pieces for Philadelphia, it's interesting. If you go down the board and you've got, let's say you have a Kenneth Gainwell who's gone off, admittedly in some garbage time scenarios, averaging 80 rush yards a game over the two playoff games. You've Gainwell at 19.5 on the rushing yards. Boston Scott, who's yet another piece who has been more like third on the pecking order, he's at 8.5 rushing yards. Would you, if you go down the board, and that's the general thought, Mike, there could be value further on the board. Any value you see in betting some of those deeper options on that Philadelphia depth chart?
Yeah, I mean, Gainwell is a guy that does stand. I mean, I know people probably shy away from Sanders and MVP because is he going to platoon and that kind of thing, which against the Chiefs, I don't see that happening. But can Gainwell get some opportunities and break out a little bit? That's attractive. You know, some of the role players, too, I'm investigating those guys because I think Patrick's going to have to lean on Valdez-Scantling, you know, without Tony. You know, Juju is still up in the air. But those other guys like Watts, I mean, all those guys, I think those role players in that regard from Patrick Mahomes, they're going to have to make a play or two. We saw Marcus Kemp be able to do that in a conference championship game, too. So, So that's what I think. That's not a buildup of plays. It's not a accumulation of a lot of big plays. But a big play here or there from some of those role players can help you out, too.
Yeah, and if you did not see the props yet, props have now been added for both Juju Smith-Schuster as well as Marquez Valdez-Scantling, as there were some question marks, at least, on the Smith-Schuster status and how that might impact the prop number on Valdes-Scantling. Those numbers are now out. Valdes-Scantling 36.5 on the receiving yards. Smith Schuster at 34.5. It's been an absolute blast, and guess what? We're just getting started with our shows throughout the week, live from Phoenix and Radio Row. So, Mike Pritchard, great job by you. Thanks to Dez Schultz, Ken Sports, our engineers getting everything set up there at Radio Row. I'm Ben Wilson saying so long for everybody here at the Lombardi Line. Up next, it is VSiN Big Bets. Dave Ross and Amal Shaw. Take it away right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.